You came to Tulsa and you knew something was different here about the community, and that is the struggle between blacks and whites.
Yes, and I became very involved in that.
I believe you told Ray you just could not live in a segregated community. And what did he say?
He said, well, marry me and desegregate it.
And that's what you began to do. Remember that story of when you came to Tulsa on the train?
I came in. The train was early, and blacks were asked to leave the white car when we crossed from Missouri into Oklahoma, and I'd gone with the blacks. I was a member of the NAACP and CORE, and I'd done sit-ins at the Blackstone Hotel in Chicago.
So you went?
I went into the black car.
Into
was
the
asked to move.
Colored-only waiting room.
And then I went into the colored-only waiting room. And I thought, if he doesn't find me here, I'll take the next train back to Highland Park, Chicago. He came right in there. He said, I knew you'd be in here.
But it was your way of protesting.
Yeah. Luckily, we came to know Raymond belonged to a veterans group called Citizens First, not to give preference to veterans, but to all citizens the same. And it was a mixed group. The American Legion and the AMVETS were not. And we came to know Primus Wade, who was a prominent lawyer here. Primus and Dorotha became very good friends of ours.
Primus Wade.
Primus Wade and Dorotha. He was an attorney. And Primus and I once decided to go to a bar association meeting at the 16th floor of the Mayo.
Of the Mayo Hotel.
Yeah.
Here in
Primus
Tulsa.
Primus was not allowed into the elevator. So he went into the dining room, which was the terrace room, which was very close, and got a napkin. I was wearing a green suit and I had a great big green pin on. He took my pin and put it up here and swept into the elevator. And we went up to the 16th floor together and then were turned down. The bar meeting was not for women or blacks.
How did you feel about that?
Furious. But we had such a good time. We picked up a lunch somewhere and went down to the river and ate lunch. But we became very close friends, four of us. They were very good bridge players.
But didn't you do, shall we say, sit-ins also in Utica Square?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
We sat in at what is now the Wild Fork.
Wild Fork.
It was the garden.
It was the garden.
I sat in with Gladys Coutts, who was a beautiful black woman from Mississippi. Her husband was a doctor. We sat in there, and we sat in the window, and we sat for 2 hours. And then suddenly they brought us some lunch.
After 2 hours, they said, well, they're not going to leave.
Yeah.
They gave in to you.
Mm-hmm.
Did you do any other in Tulsa, what
yeah,
we call sit-ins?
Well, I think maybe the biggest thing was they took Colonel Young Park, which is named after a black veteran, and made it the reservoir for the city and would not allow blacks in any of the parks out by Mohawk. There was a large group of us, Primus, Amos Hall, another black attorney, Julius Moran. I still get Christmas letters from his daughter. She was a pianist. The park department invited us to look at an alternative park. Well, it was not a park. It was a briar patch. We walked through it without any trails, and everybody was really furious. But we said, okay, we'll take this as a park. Got to fix it. And they did. But by that time, it was beginning to break up.
So then that park became what? Is there a name for that
park?
Well,
I don't think it became anything.
Okay.
I think they just kind of gave in.
And it was a park for blacks.
It was a park for blacks. And then it wasn't really used very much. Or maybe they named it Colonel Young for a while. I forget.
You talked about Gladys Coutts, and her husband was Dr. Norval Coutts.
Mm-hmm.
Were they murdered?
She was murdered, and their son was murdered. And no one knows what happened.
Murdered here in Tulsa?
Mm-hmm.
They were black. Was that racially motivated?
Don't know. Don't know. She was from a pretty elegant family in Mississippi. The funeral, they were lovely people, educated. But you see, Gladys and I had met before at Northwestern. This was so strange. I met Gladys, and we looked at each other and looked at each other. And she said, did you go to Northwestern summer school when you were a little girl? And I said, yes. She said, look at me. Do you remember anything? Oh, we were in a music class, and I had been called to the board to do some music, and suddenly this beautiful black woman was following me very closely. I had started menstruating. I was 15. And she just covered me, and she said, when you get to the door, you just slip out and take care of yourself.
So that's two coincidences,
yeah.
Joan Flint and Gladys Coutts. How long did you live in Tulsa before you even heard of the Tulsa race riot?
Through the League of Women Voters, I was local government chair of the league. We had a very poor county health department and a very poor city health department, neither with a doctor. And the league's plan was to put the two health departments together and have a doctor. So that was my job. In the course of this, I met a man at the county health department named Robert Fairchild. He had a master's degree in public health, and he told me about the race riot.
So that would have been about when?
That was probably maybe 50 at the latest. And he told me about the race riot. I asked Raymond's parents about it, and he remembered it. They lived on the north side. They had their maid and her family living with them. They had room for the maid and her family. So I was teaching a course in social problems, and I talked about it to my class. Well, now this is in a number of books, so we could check the date. My class just exploded. There was no race riot. I said, will you go home and ask your parents? They'll tell you about it.
And this is in a class at TU.
Yeah.
You're bringing it up to them, and they denied that there was any, because they'd never heard of it.
They had never heard of it. And the parents denied it. So I asked Bob Fairchild to come and speak to my class. He was with the county health department.
Okay.
He was a young man, and he remembers walking from North Tulsa to Turley along the railroad tracks with his brothers to get out of Tulsa.
Because he was black.
Uh-huh.
So he spoke to the class and said, I was there.
And the dean called me in.
The dean at TU, and he said,
you will not have Robert Fairchild come to speak to your class again.
Wow.
But I did.
Why did the dean not want Mr. Fairchild?
He didn't want to create any troubles. TU was not a strong school at the time. You know, it was a local school, really. I watched it get better and better and better.
But you had him back anyway. Weren't you afraid of getting fired?
I don't know what gave me this. Partly Raymond, who, you know, I would say he never flinched at all, and it could have hurt his business. But he did things that could have hurt his business that he thought was right.
So he encouraged you.
There was no question.